The epistle for this nuptial mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Brethren, let wives be subject to their husbands as to the Lord, because a husband is head of the wife, just as Christ is head of the body, being himself Savior of the body. But just as the church is subject to Christ, so also let wives be to their husbands in all things. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and delivered himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, cleansing her in the bath of water by means of the word, in order that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she might be holy and without blemish. Even thus ought husbands also to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh. On the contrary, he nourishes and cherishes it, as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body, made from his flesh and from his bones. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, I mean in reference to Christ and to the church. However, let each one of you also love his wife just as he loves himself, and let the wife respect her husband. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 19, verses 3 to 6. At that time, there came to Jesus some Pharisees, testing him and saying, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for any cause?" But he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that the Creator from the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' Therefore, now they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder." Thus far, the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So as we have spoken previous weddings and other ceremonies, such as the First Communicants, we want to concentrate our words for both of you, so to the best of your ability, nothing distract you. Pretend that you're just the only two in this chapel with the priest and the servers and then our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Because these, now that you are man and wife, these are the first instructions and they're just for you. Remember that this state of marriage was created by God, as you've heard in the readings from the Epistle and Gospel and in the exhortations we read to you during the ceremony. It's the way God created the human race. He created Adam first and then Eve from Adam. So Adam came literally from the earth. God took the matter, the dust, and transformed it and put a human soul in the body of Adam. And then Eve, first woman, came from the body of Adam. And that is why it is said many places in the scripture, and we just cited them, that the man is the head of the woman. The husband is the head of the wife. And we'll explain how that is meant to be, the way it's supposed to be created by God and in this life, in this society. But as all the sacraments, the sacrament of matrimony is an extension of the greatest sacrament, the Holy Eucharist. You remember in your catechism that we said that the Holy Eucharist is a sacrifice and a sacrament. So the sacrament part is the sign. It's this symbol, the sign of bread, pure and white and in a perfect circle. But through the power of the priest, by transubstantiation, it becomes the body and blood of Jesus Christ, along with the wine that's consecrated. And that's right from the scripture. Gospel of St. John, chapter 6. There is no doubt that is exactly what our Lord intended to do when he instituted the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. Well, the other six sacraments he also instituted, and what he did with the state of marriage is elevate it by adding a sacrament to it, sacrament of matrimony. That's how much God loves husbands and wives, how much he loves marriage, that he made it far more perfect for baptized people to be joined in this beautiful sacrament. So it reflects, matrimony reflects the union between the Son of God, Jesus, with his Father in heaven when he died on the cross. Remember, the Holy Eucharist is a sacrifice, as we said a moment ago, and that's the sacrifice of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins in obedience to his Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. So both of you are joined in the sacrament, but you're joined in a more perfect way to God and to each other by receiving the sacrament of matrimony. So, when you leave this chapel from this day forward till the end of your lives, you each have a life of sacrifice, but it's joined to be one sacrifice because now you are husband and wife. You give each other your lives, your worldly goods, your bodies. And why is that? And the first reason, and this is from the beginning of mankind, it's in the Old Testament and New Testament, the whole purpose of marriage, but of being the recipients of matrimony, is first to worship God. That's our duty. To worship God, to pray to God. And then husband and wife, you worship God together and you are dedicated to each other. Here is, and we'll read it verbatim, what one theologian describes the purposes or the object of matrimony, why matrimony exists. The first is the begetting and raising of offspring in compliance with the divine command to increase and multiply. So it's procreation and education of children. That is the purpose of marriage. The next two, which were listed, and we have described this in sermons and in catechism classes, are subordinate. So sometimes it's said the first is number one and then two and three. But the second two are really subordinate, meaning they are a distant second and third, because the second is mutual help and assistance, both bodily and spiritual, for God said in creating Eve, it is not good for man to be alone. Let us make him a help like unto himself. So for mutual help and assistance, to have a friend who is your spouse. And then the third purpose for marriage is regulation of the sexual instinct in accordance with the dictates of reason. As it says in the scriptures, St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 7, for fear of fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. The last two mentioned purposes or objects are, however, entirely secondary and subordinate to the first and primary end of marriage. We say that, and we've said it at every sermon we've given at weddings, how important it is to remember the purpose for marriage is for having children and educating them and making sure they're baptized and raised properly in the Catholic Church, because that's how souls get to heaven. So parents have a duty from the very moment the child is born, and I mean the very first day, because any of you who are parents, you know, and I know, even though I've never been married, I had six younger brothers and sisters, a younger brother and sister, so I saw it myself. So I helped raise them to some degree. The very day they come home from the hospital, you can tell what kind of a person they are, the personality. Gentle, kind, or a lot of spirit, or someone who's going to be a leader. You see all these qualities. And that's the day that you educate them with kindness, love, with sometimes discipline, correction, instruction, telling them from the very beginning what is right and wrong, and not letting them be spoiled. But also not abusing them and being a tyrant or over too much authority so as to be authoritarian, so they're afraid of their parents. So there's a balance. But they grow up from the first day, and as they get older, they love you. They respect you, they listen to you, but also, if they have fear, it's one of the gifts of the Holy Ghost, fear of the Lord, meaning reverence for God, reverence for what is right and wrong. And in little children, from the earliest days, sometimes after a few months, but after 6 months or a year, they can tell when something's right or wrong. In a very maybe primitive way, but as they get older, they can tell what's right and wrong, what they should do and not do, and that's your job to make sure that they realize that. Because you are preparing them to be good and holy citizens of this earth, but especially of the Catholic Church, so they can be saints in heaven. An example of parents like that in the last 150 years or so was the parents of Saint Teresa of the Child Jesus. So they grew up in France in the latter part of the 1800s. And Saint Teresa of the Child Jesus, she's the image there, the statue with the white, the ivory mantle. And she was one of those girls that was very spirited, stubborn, wanted her way, but she was the youngest of all the girls. And the parents knew they had to control it or temper her. So one time, there's a story how she wanted to have a toy because the father was fairly wealthy, so they were well-to-do in Paris, in France. And he offered it to her, and there were other ones to give. And she says, no, I don't want that. I want all of them. I want all the toys. And she realized, of course, that was a fault. She's being somewhat greedy. But she had it in her heart, her soul, to not just go halfway. She wanted everything, meaning she wanted to do everything to be as perfect as possible to serve God. So she did everything as perfectly as possible in practicing virtue, growing up, but then also when she became a sister. And the parents, holy parents, they had a saint as a daughter and then four other daughters who entered the convent because of their example. So it shows what parents can do. Now, in terms of your relationship, you hear these words of St. Paul describing the epistle, how the husband is the head of the wife. And it can be abused both ways, because as the husband can be a tyrant, and it ends up being a life of misery for both of you. Or he can relinquish his responsibilities as a husband, especially as a man, and he becomes almost just a son to his wife because he doesn't care. So it's that balance. But just as God created Adam and Eve, as we said, and even before them, the angels, there is a hierarchy in society. No matter what the pagans and the atheists and the liberals say, there is a hierarchy. There is in society. You have people elected who are in a higher position. You have wealthier people. You have it in the military. Well, you have it in the family also. But it's not meant to be one of stepping on or being a tyrant or a mean person to your wife or, God willing, future children. So the Holy Spirit, this is God the Holy Spirit, said through the writings, through the hand of St. Paul, that the man is supposed, the husband is supposed to be the head of the wife, but he's supposed to love his wife just as Christ loves the church, takes care of her, cherishes her. And then the wife loves her husband as the church loves Christ. And that's why we have we doing a traditional mass, traditional liturgy, and have a great respect for the words of these ceremonies, such as honor, obey, obedience. Those are good things. But they're always subordinate to worship of God, love of God, love of each other for God's sake. And you can see when you have that motive, even the difficult times, crosses that may come, and you've had crosses and difficulties in your lives separate, but now you're joined together. So if any of you, each one of you, if one of you has some sort of a difficulty or sickness or whatever it is, the other person has it also. Those terrible stories, mostly men, but sometimes the women, when the spouse becomes sick, they abandon them and leave them and get married to someone else. What a terrible crime. But everything that happens from this day forward is designed for each one of you to be a grace. In other words, God has in his divine providence everything mapped out for you to get you to heaven. And he gives you, as you learn in the catechism, actual graces, a supernatural help from him, from the Holy Ghost, to help you to do that work, to do good and avoid evil. Remember that? That's what the actual graces do. To stay away from that person, or avoid that situation, or avoid that temptation, or to do this good work, or to help that person in need, or to help your spouse when they need assistance, or to be patient when you hear a word from another person or your spouse that may be a cause of anger. Remember, none of us are perfect. None of us are saints. I'm not, you're not. But as it says in the scripture, we have to bear each other's faults. And what helps is to desire to have the virtue of humility. And you know what that does? It makes you realize before God and before my neighbor, I am nothing. I'm just an unprofitable servant. But for some reason, God loves me, God loves my spouse enough to give me the true faith and to have these beautiful blessings and sacraments and the way to heaven that is denied to most other people. And when you think that, it shouldn't be, well, that means I'm better than these other people. No, that's not what the saints do. They realize I could be just like that person who's on the way to hell, but except for God's grace. So it makes you appreciate all the masses and sacraments you have here. Now, some of you may remember, but it was last April 4th. April 3rd was Easter Vigil, Holy Saturday, and then April 4th was Easter Sunday. And you, Tyler, that's the day you were baptized. And I did the ceremony. And you chose a special name because for baptism, it requires to have a Christian name, a name of a saint. And you chose Vincent. And that is why we included it in the ceremony today. And we asked you just before the ceremony if you'd like that. And so that's what we did. Because before God, that is your name. And his very great saint, Saint Vincent. So that's the connection. How providential that did we even know that you would be, a couple years ago, that you'd be brought into the church, and then the priest that baptized you would be imparting the sacrament of matrimony. And Patricia, I remember when you're just an infant. You've been here all these years. What a beautiful day it is. Your family's here, your relatives, your friends. It's peaceful. And you can carry with you at this Mass all the graces, especially receiving Holy Communion. You can carry our Lord into the world, and it's just another step on your journey to heaven. And Holy Mother, the Church, as we've said, and we mentioned last night at the rehearsal, imparts to both of you what's called the nuptial blessing. And when you read it, most of the words are directed to the wife. It's both of you. You both get it, but it's directed to the woman to help her to be faithful to God and to her husband, and to be docile to the Holy Spirit who gives you the grace. Every moment of the day you call upon the Holy Ghost to help you, to help both of you. And you pray, of course, to the Blessed Virgin Mary and to your guardian angel and to your patron saints, because they are friends in heaven. You ask your friends for help. to intercede. So that's what the saints are. They're our friends in heaven, and we ask them, can you mention this request to God for me? Because you're very holy. I can pray to God myself, and I do, but I pray to the saints too, to perfect my prayer. And that's what gets more saints into heaven. It is important for you, Tyler, and it's so important in these days to be a man. And for you, Patricia, to be a woman. That means both of you mature, but also you are a team. Now that's easy for everyone to understand these days because sports is so prevalent in society. But in the very basic principles of what a team is, it means you work together for a common goal. You sacrifice your own opinions or way of doing something for the greater goal because you work together. So in that sense, you're equal. Even though God says the husband is the head of the wife, does that mean the husband's a holier person? No. And in terms of membership in the church, you are both equally baptized. Why is it that most of the visions or apparitions of God and the Blessed Virgin Mary, through God's permission, are towards women and girls? That's because often men are hard-hearted and not humble. They're not worthy to have the Son of God appear to them. But God chose men to be priests and to lead his church. And here in this chapel, we're going to do it, and as you know, we do it exactly the way it's supposed to be, according to the Catholic doctrine, morality, prayers, rituals, masses, sacraments, without compromise. And the reason we say that is that because it makes you appreciate it, but also it gives you comfort and assurance because you know when you go out into the world, the attacks on God and his doctrine and his morality, moral principles, and his church, because there are a great many enemies inside the church trying to corrupt it from within. And we stand against them to save our souls, but to save your souls. And in that, there is absolutely no compromise. Finally, as a reminder of what is not very much believed anymore, but it's part of the natural law of what marriage is. It's called the unity of marriage, meaning one husband and one wife. One man, one woman. And it lasts till death. So that's called the indissolubility of marriage, meaning it cannot be dissolved or ended until death. When you realize that, then you, by your life, by your principles, by your convictions, you stand against modern society and media and those who want to destroy the family life, want to destroy marriage. We don't care. I don't care what they're doing. I pray for the enemies, for their conversion. But on this property and in this church, it is exactly the way Christ intended it to be, in terms of marriage, all the sacraments, and all the morality. No court, no government official, no enemy conspirator occupying positions in the church will change us. We will die fighting for it, defending it. So those are the reflections and our last instruction before you leave this chapel today. The very last thing is, we want to congratulate you. So Father Ward and all the priests who you've been listening to and hearing hundreds of instructions and sermons and have helped you with the sacraments, heard your confessions, counseled you. We all are praying for you today, and we congratulate you. So I'm representing the priests and the seminarians. And you know why the seminarians aren't here today? Normally they are here in the back, just as a little information. Because the two of them right now are in a class with Father Ward. Because they are the future along with Father Brown. So it's more important that they receive those beautiful words on the ascetical and spiritual life from Father Ward. And so Father Brown was helping out today. He was, even though he's a priest, he did what I've done for 45 years. He's the sacristan helping the priest today. But we all congratulate you, and we both wish you the best along with the sisters who are praying for you. We are praying for you, and we congratulate you today. So that is what we wanted to tell you, and we will see you after the Mass with the photographs, and that'll be your reminder. When you see those pictures, they are obviously beautiful to have in an album, but when you see that, when you see yourselves with the priest before the altar, remember as much as you can what we said today, how much it means. It's not just a photograph. It shows that you are with the priest between you, uniting you together with Jesus Christ on the altar. May God bless you.